In a recent podcast, we covered four mood stabilizers that are essential in the treatment of bipolar disorder. They were lithium, lamotrigine, quetiapine, and lurasidone. In that podcast, we explained why and when to use them. In this one, we'll explain how to use one of them, quetiapine.
Welcome to the Psychiatric Times podcast. I'm Chris Aiken, the bipolar section editor for Psychiatric Times. And with me today is Kelly Newsom, a psychiatric nurse practitioner, who is also my co-host in the Carlatt Psychiatry podcast.
Quetiapine is very effective in bipolar disorder, but it's also very difficult to tolerate. How do we get around that?
Yes, quetiapine covers a lot of ground in bipolar disorder. It has some of the best number needed to treats in three phases of the illness: depression, mania, mixed states, and long-term maintenance. And it also has benefits in anxiety and insomnia that patients really appreciate. But this is also a drug that you're going to get a lot of callbacks for tolerability issues. In one study, it was one of the top psychiatric medications that brought patients to the emergency room. Sometimes the sedation on quetiapine, or the hypotension and the falls that it creates, is so severe that patients can go to the emergency room to get help. You can get around those two side effects a bit by adjusting the form of quetiapine. Basically, the XR form tends to be better for orthostasis and hypotension, while the instant-release form tends to be a little better for morning grogginess. Which form you choose may also depend on the dose. It's rare to see head-to-head trials of the XR and instant-release forms, but there are a few of them, and a recent review article looked at those and came to these conclusions. The XR form had less orthostasis, less agitation, and less nausea than the instant-release form, but the instant-release form was a little more favorable for morning sedation. The target dose for quetiapine is between 150 and 300 milligrams a day for bipolar depression, but for mania and mixed states, the target dose is 400 to 800 milligrams a day. And here's the secret. At doses of 300 milligrams and below, orthostasis is usually not a big problem unless the patient is frail or elderly. So you're usually going to prefer the instant-release form for bipolar depression in the 300 milligram range. If you have to raise it up, watch for dizziness and hypotension, and you might just need to go to the XR form to smooth over those peak plasma levels that cause that side effect. Smoothing over the peak plasma levels with the XR form will also reduce the rate of nausea and agitation on quetiapine.
But the XR form has a problem that always vexes my patients. You can't take it with food.
Yes, quetiapine is one of the few extended-release formulations that has a problem with dose dumping. Basically, if taken with a large meal or with a lot of alcohol, it can dump the entire dose at once, which would make your patient very sedated. So you have to instruct the patient to take it at least 30 minutes away from food. But the XR form is going to peak in 4 to 5 hours, while the instant release peaks in 1 to 2 hours. And these are important numbers when it comes to sedation. So you want to take the extended release form 4 to 5 hours before bed, but the instant release 1 to 2 hours before bed. And that's where the window gets tight. How do you take a medication a half hour after dinner, but 4 to 5 hours before bed, and take it reliably every night? I don't know any way other than an app to remind you to take it at 7 p.m.
I understand the XR can be dosed once a day, but don't you have to dose the instant release twice a day? And isn't that going to make them groggy in the morning?
Quetiapine's half-life is 7 hours, which does suggest that twice-a-day dosing might be necessary. But that's just the serum half-life. In pharmacodynamic studies, both the binding at dopamine and serotonin receptors lasted longer, suggesting that you could give this medication once a day with the same therapeutic benefits and less side effects. And that was proven true in a study of schizophrenia about 20 years ago, where they randomized patients to twice-a-day or once-a-day dosing with the instant release. In bipolar depression, many clinicians give quetiapine instant release 300 milligrams all at night. It's just not necessary to divide that dose up, and doing so is just going to make the patient very groggy in the morning. Quetiapine also has a metabolite, norquetiapine, which is responsible for a lot of its antidepressant effects and has a longer half-life than quetiapine itself.
So the dose is 150 to 300 for bipolar depression. How do you adjust that for drug interactions?
The most important drug interaction is with carbamazepine, which is going to lower quetiapine levels by about 70 or 80%, rendering it almost useless. Furthermore, you can't simply raise quetiapine to overcome this, because what carbamazepine is really doing is speeding up its conversion into norquetiapine, essentially changing the nature of the drug, and ramping up the quetiapine level is just going to ramp up the norquetiapine level to very high degrees, and we don't know what that's doing. So I generally don't use quetiapine with carbamazepine. With other mood stabilizers, the drug interactions are more mild. Lamotrigine lowers quetiapine levels just a little bit, while Depakote valproic acid raises them. This is a little known fact, but there was one study showing that lamotrigine lowers quetiapine levels, so you're going to want to raise it by 1.2 to 1.7 times to adjust for that if you're using quetiapine and lamotrigine together. So now instead of 300, you're going to aim for 400 milligrams at night. With valproic acid, Depakote, you're going to want to lower the quetiapine dosage by about 50% to adjust for the drug interaction.
What about age?
Older individuals metabolize quetiapine slower, so you might need to lower the levels in them, multiplying it by about 0.6 to adjust for this factor if the patient's over 65. Younger patients, children and adolescents, are going to metabolize quetiapine faster, so you might need to raise the level by about 1.4 in this population. These are rough numbers that I pulled from several pharmacokinetic studies. Really, you're going to have to adjust that and fine-tune it for each patient. But they do serve as a reminder that the optimal 300 milligram dose is not necessarily right for everyone, and there is a bit of a bell curve there, depending on the patient's age, drug interactions, and possibly their genetic differences in CYP enzymes. Quetiapine can be a tough drug to work with. It does have a lot of medical side effects, but keep this in mind if you're using it. One large study, by which I mean 7 million people, found that people with bipolar disorder lived about 10 years less on average than the rest of the population. But those who took medications for their conditions did live longer, and quetiapine was one of the mood stabilizers that extended the lifespan more than any other. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because it's so good at treating the depressive episodes, which are what take away so much of life and health from patients. Thank you for joining us. I hope you found these podcasts free of bias. I have no conflicts of interest to declare and have never received funding from the pharmaceutical industry.